Hugh Alexander was a baseball scout. He started working at that job in the 1930s, and he kept it up for 53 years. The stories Alexander told his friend, retired professor Dan Austin, convinced Austin that Hugh Alexander ought to be remembered, and so he wrote Baseball's Last Great Scout. Dan Austin joins me from Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you, Bill.
Hugh Alexander could have been a fine player, or at least that's the story you tell. What led you to that conclusion?
Well, as a kid in high school, he was called a stick of dynamite. And many people thought that he could be up there with Jesse Owens, who, of course, went to the 36 Olympics. And when Cy Slapnicka, who was then a scout for the Indians in the mid-30s, signed him up, he hit in 2 years, 57 home runs. And in fact, he really got irritated with Slapnicka, who brought him up at the last month of the season in 1937. And he said, "Sly, why did you do that? I wanted to stay in the minor league for 1 month so I could hit 60 home runs in 2 years.
All right, so he was a great minor league ball player, and there was a terrible accident that derailed his baseball career. Tell us a little about that.
Bill, he grew up in the oil fields around Seminole, Oklahoma. And anyway, he went back working in the mill out in the oil well area. And he was wearing a long flannel shirt, and it got caught in an oil rig and ripped off his left hand.
Oh, boy. Now, Alexander acknowledged to you that when he first started scouting, an opportunity that came his way, obviously when he could no longer play, that he had no idea what he was doing. How did he learn his trade?
Trial and error. When Slapnicka, who then became the general manager of the Indians, called him, he said, "Huey, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm the only one-armed bartender in Oklahoma." He said, "Well, I'm going to send you a train ticket. You're going to come to Cleveland, and I'm going to teach you to be a baseball scout at the age of 20. Huey said, "Well, I don't know a darn thing about that." He said, "That's all right. The only experience you are lacking is having the experience of making bad mistakes." Anyway, the first year he scouted, you know how many players he signed? Zero.
For the first 40 years or so of Hugh Alexander's career, scouting was a matter of either finding the player that nobody else had found or else convincing the player everybody knew about that he ought to sign with your team rather than with somebody else's team. Tell us a little bit about how Hugh Alexander did his persuading.
Well, one was it that cash is hot. So when he signed Allie Reynolds, who was his first player to go up to the big show, Allie was a senior at Oklahoma, then A&M, and was a football player. He went to Allie's home and said, "Allie, you need to be a ball player. You'll have a longer life than being a football player." And so, unbeknownst to the Cleveland organization, he went down to the local bank, took out $1,000 in $100 bills, spread them on the coffee table, and said, "Allie, what's that look to you?" And he said, "It looks like $1,000. Signed the contract.
You write of Alexander, and I'm quoting now, "He didn't care for radar guns and stopwatches." What were the tools of his trade?
His brain. His brain was like a computer. He had an incredible memory. When he would scout a player before and after the amateur draft of 1965, he said, "I don't need radar guns. If I can't tell how fast a kid is, then I don't need to be in the business." And when in doubt, as Branch Rickey told him, he said, "When you're in doubt of a player, then walk away."
In 1953, when Huey Alexander was scouting for the White Sox, he unsuccessfully tried to get the team to sign Ernie Banks, who was, in fact, playing for the Kansas City Monarchs in the Negro League at the time. And he'd been a scout for 15 years by then, and he had something of a reputation. Was it unusual for employers to disregard his advice?
That comes with being a scout, particularly after the amateur draft system in 1965. But before that, he wanted Don Sutton, who came up into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 98. Don Sutton, when he was an amateur, was rated NP, no prospect, by everybody, including Huey. And then he saw him pitch in the Wichita Amateur Baseball League, and he said, "We got to get this guy." And the front office says, no way, don't do it. Well, Huey went above the general manager and went directly to Bavasi and said, you got to sign him. And they did.
And the rest, as they say, was history.
Indeed, Bill.
Now, it's interesting to me that you characterize the change in 1965 this way. You say scouting took a sharp turn toward the political left. How so?
Before 65, it was unbridled capitalism. That is, whoever had the smarts to find that talent, you went after them. After 65, then everybody went into a pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's homogenized.
Finally, why do you say that Hugh Alexander was, quote, baseball's last great scout? He had contemporaries, right?
Indeed. Yes, I will readily admit, Bill, that some literary license taken. He saw several revolutions in the game. He endured. He was successful, whatever the changes occurred.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't simply a radar gun or a stopwatch. He looked at the game in terms of not only the superstars or the rejects, but who are the journeyman ball players that may not make the headlines every day, and they may only be up at the big show for 3 or 4 years, but nevertheless, that's why fans go out to the game, to see that kind of kid persevere and get that key hit.
Dan Austin is the author of Baseball's Last Great Scout, The Life of Hugh Alexander. The book is published by University of Nebraska Press, and the author joined me from Fort Lauderdale. Mr. Austin, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you very much, Bill. Have a good day.